booster for your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Good morning. Happy Friday. This is the WABC Morning News, Early Morning News. I'm Frank Morano.
Hi, Frankie. I'm Juliet Huddy. I hope everybody is getting ready for the weekend and everybody has a good one. Deb, as you heard, is following breaking news at the news desk. Christian and Gabby are at the controls. It'll be in with sports at 5:15. And Frank, I have a feeling a lot of people are going to be talking about this. The former president tried to sneak his way onto Twitter, but the Twitter police were not having it. And also, there is some good news for 45. I'll tell you what that is coming up. Also, new COVID strains are not sneaking past the current vaccines on the market, which is good. And by the way, in your Jet Set Juliet travel update today at 5:40, today is the day that we are supposed to hear about whether the UK will open its doors to travelers. I've been pretty confident, but I have to tell you, after something I read yesterday, I'm not so sure.
Interesting. Wow, that is potentially very troublesome news. Yeah. But nothing is troublesome for Joe Nolan. He's the Lord of the Lincoln Tunnel. He brings us traffic and transit reports every 10 minutes on the 7th. How's it looking
Hello,
this morning,
sire.
Joe?
And good morning. And as you begin to travel out onto the Van Wyck, we've got a couple of problems. First of all, if you're on the southbound side coming down to Kennedy Airport, there's an accident just as you get into the airport. And then also further on up at Hillside Avenue, two lanes are out. That also with construction. So you get trouble southbound on the Van Wyck. Now, elsewhere, not all that big of a deal, really, to be honest with you. You have the construction northbound on I-95, the Connecticut Turnpike, between 18 and 19. That's there every day. That'll be till about 6 o'clock this morning. Great news on the Long Island Railroad. All the problems they had from that massive building fire, they now have fixed, and everything is on or close to schedule. And alternate site again today is in effect. The supportive service of Audible. Freshen up your playlist this spring with Audible Plus. Listen all you want to thousands of select Audible originals, audiobooks, podcasts, and more. Start your 30-day trial free when you sign up at audible.com. With traffic on the 7s, I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you, Joseph. We're going to get to some weather, but also coming up after the break, stormy skies are parting, at least for now, for the former president. I'll tell you about that. But from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center, today is going to be a mix of sun and clouds. It should be kind of nice at times, kind of middling at times. We'll get up to about 64 degrees, and we'll also have some fairly light winds, so it should be a pretty decent day, I would say. Tomorrow, we're looking at showers, unfortunately, 53 degrees, cloudiness with occasional rain showers throughout the day. On Sunday, things don't look much better. We're getting warmer. We're going from 53 on Saturday to 64 on Sunday, but unfortunately, we're going to be looking at some more rain, potentially. Monday, rain again, 61 degrees. Unfortunately, we are seeing a lot of rain this spring. Maybe we need it. I don't know. 53 degrees currently, though, in New York City.
This is the WABC Early News.
New York City is catching up to the rest of New York State as it rolls back one more COVID restriction. Starting today, indoor dining capacity increases to 75% capacity. Earlier this week, New York City was allowed to reinstate bar seating. This is ahead of May 17th when restaurant and bar curfews are set to be lifted. Very exciting news.
Lovely, lovely. Also, exciting news for the president. Stormy skies are parting for now. The Federal Election Commission announced it is dropping its inquiry into whether Donald Trump violated campaign finance laws when his lawyer, Michael Cohen, paid porn star Stormy Daniels in so-called hush money leading up to the 2016 election. Yesterday, the FEC voted 2-2 on proceeding ahead with the investigation. And so basically, a tie means that there's no majority, and that means the case is dropped and the inquiry or inquiry, however you'd like to say it, is over.
An I Heart New York shirt isn't the only thing tourists could head home with after visiting New York City. Mayor Bill de Blasio is hoping to offer visitors the Johnson & Johnson vaccine at major attractions like Times Square and Central Park. Oh. He believes it might speed along post-pandemic recovery. New York State would, of course, need to authorize the plan, but one of New York City's newest tourist attractions could be the vaccine.
I got to tell you, I'm no fan of Mayor Bill de Blasio, but that's a pretty good idea.
I completely agree.
Wow. What's happening? Okay. Speaking of President Trump, as we just were a moment ago, We see you, Donald J. Trump. Oh, we see you. President Trump, or someone on his behalf, more likely, tried to sneak a new account in on Twitter. At DJT Desk was apparently set up earlier this week to share personal commentary from the former president. It followed the announcement from the Trump camp that they had launched their own website called From the Desk of Donald J. Trump. As of Wednesday night, though, the account had already been suspended for violating the platform's rules, one of which was that the president, as you know, is banned indefinitely. Facebook, meantime, upheld their ban on Mr. Trump's account. So I guess if you want to hear from 45, you better head over to that new website.
Boy, he really wants to tweet. He really does.
I mean, you know, isn't life a lot easier when you don't have to get on social media all the time?
I guess it's easy for us to say we're not banned yet.
Well, I was for a few days.
Yeah, well, it could have been challenging, I suppose. The NYPD is responding to the latest crime statistics released on Wednesday. Chief of Patrol Juanita Holmes says the department is working to combat gun violence by targeting a 100-block radius that reports the most crimes along with gun buyback programs. Mayor de Blasio believes these initiatives will make for a safe summer season. Meantime, Holmes mentioned 2 takedowns throughout the city over the last 2 days, explaining up to 20 suspects could be taken off the streets during these instances.
Oh, let's go out to Wisconsin. A dairy farmer out there is suing the Biden administration. Adam Faust is his name. He filed the documents last week, and the issue is a loan forgiveness program that was created by the president as part of his COVID stimulus package. The problem for Faust is he's white, and although non-white farmers are eligible for the program, white farmers are not. Not to mention the fact that he's got a bit of an uphill battle himself. He doesn't have legs. Well, he does, actually, but they're prosthetic. Faust says racism, no matter what form, has no place in government.
A man's facing charges for several gunpoint robberies in Central Park. The NYPD announced the arrest of 34-year-old Andrew Thornton, who they believe is responsible for at least 3 armed robberies since Friday, April 30th. A handgun was recovered at the time of his arrest. Thornton is charged with 2 counts of robbery, 2 counts of menacing, and weapons charges.
You know, I got to tell you, whenever there's weird crime stuff, like bizarre crime stories, it's always out of Florida, Ohio. I swear to you, I'm finding Tom's River is also a weird crime. Not that it's got a lot of crime. It's just the crimes that are there are weird. And it's always Tom's River. A New Jersey couple from Tom's River were busted last month after a year-long investigation found that the spa that they were running was giving out a lot more than just your basic massage. Wayne Lefkowitz and Giwa Kui are facing charges including promoting prostitution and money laundering. I guess the Ocean County Prosecutor's Office said that the spa was running as a legitimate business some of the time. Apparently, investigators found people who went in there were offered sexual favors in exchange for money, and officials say the couple would then deposit the dough into several different accounts.
Well, New York City's Department of Sanitation is attempting to keep more than the streets clean. The agency unveiled a first-of-its-kind all-electric street sweeper yesterday. The vehicle ensures lower carbon emissions and pollution, with officials comparing it to taking roughly 19 cars off the road for a year. The Department of Sanitation has 450 traditional street sweepers and only 27 hybrid ones.
Well, it is just about time for Sid. A.K.A. Sid Rosenberg, A.K.A. Hollywood Rosenberg.
Step closer to Hollywood, from what I understand.
A new level of Hollywood.
Wait, what's happening now?
Oh, I reached out to Dominic Carter, who's a lovely, lovely guy and a great talent, mind you. I just had this whim. I want to go on Wendy Williams' show, you know, Hot Topics, whatever. And he said, okay, I'll reach out to her. 2 minutes later, he sends me back an email. He says, Wendy is a huge fan. She wants you to have her cell number and call her. So I called Wendy Williams last night. We're on the phone for a good 45 minutes. I'm not even kidding. Her whole history, Kevin, her son Kevin, her ex-husband, doesn't miss a word on the morning show. And then invited me on her show next Friday.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, this is just,
it's unreal.
This is just amazing.
Crazy,
good for
right?
you.
Well, thank you for that. So
you're becoming more famous by the day.
By the day, by the minute,
you know,
Julia.
Pretty infamous. Soon he's going to be too big for radio.
Yeah,
I mean, 100%.
You know? You remember The Rock, when The Rock first started appearing in movies and stuff? You know, now nobody even knows The Rock as a wrestler anymore. They just know him as a movie star. That's going to be
exactly.
Sick.
Yeah, we're almost there, to be honest, Frank. Matinee affair, I should say, yesterday in the Bronx for the Yankees. They're looking to win their sixth in a row and sweep their three-game set against those hated Houston Astros. We had one of our own sports reporters, Chris Arnold's a great one. John O'Halloran was in the Bronx yesterday for this Yankee afternoon stint. Here's what he had to say.
The Yankees going for a sweep in the Bronx against the Astros in a Thursday marquee matchup. Gerrit Cole, for the first time, takes the mound against his former team. The red-hot Giancarlo Stanton opens things up with a blast over the Yankees' bullpen in the third inning to put the Yankees up 1-0. His hit streak is now at 12 games, and he's tied for the lead in all of baseball with 10 homers on the season. Gerrit Cole goes 7 innings, giving up 5 hits and 2 runs, but the Yankees' bullpen blows it in the 8th inning, giving up a 3-run home run to Jose Altuve, and the Astros take the game 7-4. The Yankees will begin a three-game set with the Washington Nationals on Friday night. Jameson Taillon and Patrick Corbin are expected to get the start. For 77 WABC, I'm John O'Halloran.
Thank you, John. Yankees now at 16-15, 2.5 behind Boston. The Mets got an afternoon win yesterday behind Tejan Walker. This guy's pitching very well. 7 innings, no earned runs. Beat the Cardinals 4-1. The Metsies are back to 500 at 13-13. They're one back of the Phillies, and they start a series in Queens against the Arizona Diamondbacks later on today. The Brooklyn Nets, falling apart here late in the season, lost again last night despite 45 from Kyrie Irving. They lose 113-109 to Dallas. The Nets, the 2 seed in the East, are now 2.5 behind Philadelphia, just a half game better than Milwaukee for the 3 seed. Hockey last night, the Devils skated past the Islanders 2-1, and the Bruins shut out the Rangers 4-0. Sports at 15-45. For the WABC Early News, I'm Sid.
Sid indeed. And at 5:17, it's time for us to get a traffic update from a gentleman that I have agreed to socialize with on May 28th. So mark your calendars. Stories will be told.
Wait a second. What is happening?
Oh, I will brief you on that one, Julia.
All right, let's just go right through the traffic. On the Van Wyck southbound at Kennedy Airport, there was an earlier accident. That now is out of the way, so all lanes have been reopened. If you're traveling, though, at Hillside Avenue, 2 lanes remain out with that road work, and that's really causing all kinds of problems southbound on the Van Wyck. If you're northbound on the Garden State Parkway at 141 at Vauxhall Road in that service area down pole, there is an exit ramp that is blocked that's coming out of the McDonald's there on the parkway. And also the Long Island Railroad back on or close to schedule. Remember yesterday they had all those issues as you started to get through where that building fire was. That is now gone, and alternate side of the street parking rules are in effect. With traffic on the 7s, I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
This is intriguing. I can't wait to find out. All right, coming up in the Frank Business Report, we just call it the Frank Business Report, much like Sid.
It's because it's honest.
That's true. That's true. You are going to give us the update on unemployment numbers out. And I'm making a prediction. I think based on the way the economy has been going, it's going to be good news. Call me crazy, but I'm going to go out on a limb there. Also, coming up in your Jet Set, Juliet, travel update at 5:40. A well-connected, award-winning travel writer in the UK, and this is a guy who probably knows some of the lawmakers there, tells us what he thinks will be the biggest shocker of the UK's green light list, expected to be revealed today.
All the news that's fit to be heard. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC.
The opening bell rings this morning as the trading week winds down. Stocks were up yesterday as investors await today's important jobs report. At the closing bell, the Dow Jones Industrial Average hit a record high for the second straight day. It has gained every day this week. To close Thursday, the Dow finished up 318 points. The S&P 500 gained 34 points, and the NASDAQ gained 50 points. Speaking of that jobs report, the April jobs and unemployment numbers lead off today's economic reports. Analysts forecast 950,000 new jobs last month, an unemployment rate falling to 5.8%. So we may call Juliette crazy, but it won't be for her prediction on the jobs report. That would be the highest job creation in 8 months and the lowest unemployment rate in more than a year. The numbers are due at 8:30 this morning. Wholesale inventories for March come out at 10 this morning, with experts forecasting a 0.5% jump to 1.9% growth. Consumer credit for March is due at 3 p.m., and credit outstanding is expected to rise by $18.7 billion, Julia.
Well, we can certainly give President Biden credit for that, but also, I mean, you know, take him out of the mix. We're ramping up again. Things are getting back to normal, or at least somewhat normal. So people are hiring, and people are starting to be employed again. That's great, great news. We also have a bit more news on the COVID front. Let's start with vaccines. According to Israel's Minister of Health, vaccines are the key ingredient in curbing COVID outbreaks, not lockdowns. Officials say they really believe that getting a shot prevented 98% of hospital admissions and deaths from 2 weeks after the second dose and 97% of infections overall. And if that doesn't convince you to go out and get your vaccine, here is some more news. Two new studies have wrapped up, and they found fully vaccinated healthcare workers were up to 18 times less likely to be infected with COVID compared to their colleagues who hadn't received a dose. Meantime, Washington University researchers revealing an unsettling bit of news. They say they believe COVID has killed 7 million people around the world. That's more than double the amount officially reported by the World Health Organization. Finally, we'll end on a positive note, Frank. Scientists around the world seem to agree that there isn't evidence that any of the variants that are out there today, the COVID variants and strains, the new ones, can fully evade the vaccines currently on the market. In other words, again, get vaccinated.
Speaking of Israel, who you alluded to, the Israeli political scene is getting more fascinating by the day. Yair Lapid and Naftali Bennett, Israel's centrist opposition leader, and the gentleman, Naftali Bennett, who fancies himself as a right-wing kingmaker, they resumed negotiations yesterday and are hoping to finalize plans to form a government by the end of the week. Now, the current prime minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, is working furiously to sabotage these efforts, mainly by pressuring members of Bennett's Yamina party to oppose any deal with Lapid's center-left bloc. Now, to understand what's going on in Israel right now, this would be almost the equivalent of Ted Cruz ousting Donald Trump with the help of Joe Biden. You have a candidate to Netanyahu's right and a candidate to Netanyahu's left who are teaming up potentially to form the new government. And if they're successful, what they're talking about is that Bennett, the conservative prime minister, would be prime minister for 2 years, and then Lapid would take over after 2 years in this very unique unity government. So we'll see how that works out.
We will also see what's happening over in the India area. We've all been watching the horrifying events unfolding there, where COVID has ravaged, I mean, just decimated the population and created what can only be described as, I mean, it's like a medieval nightmare. People dying on the streets, family members driving around with the dead bodies of their relatives on motor scooters, trying to find a place to bury them. They can't put them into funeral parlors because they're all full. I mean, it's just been heartbreaking to watch. And now it appears one of India's neighbors may be following the same deadly path. COVID cases in Nepal are soaring, officials reporting 230 cases for every million people. That's just a tad behind India's numbers. But to add insult to injury, you think India's medical infrastructure is beleaguered? Nepal has far fewer hospitals, far fewer doctors in ICUs comparatively. And on top of that, their vaccination rate is middling at best. So it is just not good news coming out of there.
Well, it's good news for a 12-year-old boy in Illinois who is breaking a world record while using popsicle sticks. Recently, Eric Klebel of Naperville was recognized by the Guinness Book of World Records for building the tallest popsicle stick tower, measuring at 20.2 feet. Klebel told Guinness he's been assembling objects using popsicle sticks and recycled materials for the last 6 years and has made things like a motorized model car, a boat, and even a chair.
Well, I bet the folks in India right about now would really appreciate their prime minister using popsicle sticks instead of workers and a lot of their taxpayer money. It's kind of like Nero fiddling as Rome burns, only this time it is India's PM, prime minister. The nation is in an uproar over the building of what critics call a folly, basically just an ornamental kind of showy building or structure with no real important purpose. Prime Minister Narendra Modi has been besotted with building a new parliament to replace the one built by King George V and Queen Mary during colonial rule. He wants to replace it with this building. It's supposed to resemble a wedding cake. It's a very garish-looking structure, and it will, of course, feature an opulent palace for the 70-year-old premier. But even as his countrymen die in droves because there aren't, as I said, enough hospitals and medical care, and even as countries like the UK and, oh yeah, the United States send over millions in supplies and help, Modi refuses to stop construction. In fact, he has deemed it an essential service and has allowed it to be exempted from COVID rules. Lawmakers are calling it a vanity palace and they are demanding work cease immediately.
There's a politician you can't accuse of flip-flopping, right?
Yeah.
Sticking to his guns. Somebody that always sticks to his guns when it comes to the traffic is Joe Nolan, who has the traffic and transit every 10 minutes on the 7s. How's it looking this morning, Joe?
All right, Frank, good news on the Van Wyck. All lanes have been reopened. The earlier problem around Kennedy Airport has now been cleared, and then the construction at Hillside Avenue, two lanes was there, and it's still in the process of being picked up. But still, as you head southbound, you've got delays from the Jackie Robinson Kew Gardens, basically all the way down to Hillside and Atlantic Avenues. Now, on the Garden State Parkway, this is a weird one. Coming out of the Vauxhall service area, there's a downed utility pole. Now, as a result of that, you might have some delays on the main line. It's all wide open there. So as you go on through, you might be able to see it. And if you can, there might be a slowdown. Long Island Railroad back on or close to schedule. And alternate side of the street parking rules again today are in effect. This report, serviceofindeed.com. With Indeed Instant Match, you can accelerate the hiring process just by sponsoring a job. You'll get a list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description. Fast hiring, no speeding tickets. Visit Indeed.com/credit. With traffic on the 7s, I'm Joe Nolan on Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you, Joseph. Coming up in your Jet Set Juliet travel update at 5:40, U.S.-based cruises are ramping up, but there is one thing that families with children need to know about booking one in the very near future. And also, any moment we should be hearing about the UK's green list. Will the US be on it? Not feeling so confident right now. But first, let's get over to Deb's news desk for the headlines.
From the 77 WABC Early News Desk, I'm Deborah Valentine. Two men charged with homicide in last summer's shooting that left a one-year-old dead and three others injured as part of an alleged Brooklyn gang takedown.
Brooklyn DA Eric Gonzalez says this is part of a concerted effort to end gun violence following a difficult year.
And the most high-profile homicide in this indictment is, in fact, its most heartbreaking.
Little Javel Gardner Jr. was at a cookout in Bed-Stuy when he was struck by a stray bullet on July 12th. An indictment names Deshaun Austin of Canarsie the shooter, Akeem Artis of Bed-Stuy the getaway driver. A total of 18 alleged members of the Hooli gang have been indicted. I'm Kristen Marks for 77 WABC News.
Five fires out in Nassau County in the past 24 hours, one deadly. Two parents and their college-bound daughter dead in a house fire in Garden City. Police Commissioner Ken Jackson knew the family, and he spoke yesterday.
The emotions are very sad at this time. Even with me, I knew the family, some of the family.
The latest fire, one person suffering minor injuries after an explosion and fire at an East Meadow home that broke out about 8:30 last night. The other fires reported in Westbury and Newcastle, all under investigation. The NYPD is stepping up anti-crime efforts. NYPD's chief of patrol is Juanita Holmes.
When we take down gangs of this nature, we're taking down sometimes 20 members, even if it's 10 members, and it results in a significant reduction in violence.
Holmes says among initiatives being launched, the Spot Shotter program is being expanded and the ceasefire program is being relaunched. 200 administrative personnel are being assigned to patrols. Crime was up 30.4% from April of 2020 to this April. Well, a noontime event will mark the last official day on the job for Suffolk County Police Commissioner Geraldine Hart. The former FBI agent is stepping down. Chief Stuart Cameron will serve as acting commissioner. Fox National headlines next.
Fox News. Until NATO An hours-long hostage standoff at a bank in St. Cloud, Minnesota, ended without injuries and the suspect in custody late Thursday. Some hostages set free by the suspect, others made a break for it.
Through the glass, our cameras captured the alleged suspect sitting on the counter, on his phone. The crowd across the street cheering every time a hostage was released.
Courtney Godfrey of Fox TV affiliate KMSP. A 23-ton chunk of Chinese space debris is careening towards Earth. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin.
We don't have a plan to shoot the rocket down. We're hopeful that it will land in a place where it won't harm anyone.
That debris may strike as soon as this weekend. America's listening to Fox News.
Entertaining and informative. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Thank you very much, Mr. Announcer. WABC Early News time is 5:31. I'm Juliet. Frank is with me as well. Coming up in your Jet Set Juliet travel update, the world's tallest infinity pool. Frank, you know what an infinity pool is, right? It's like you don't see even an edge to it.
I had forgotten. You had told me about these before, and then I'd forgotten, but now I know.
Okay, well, this, I don't know that I would want to swim in this thing, because, again, it is the world's tallest infinity pool, so it looks like you're just going to drop off the edge, and I don't know about this. And also, the travel editor of the Financial Times in the UK tweeted moments ago that the country, or the UK, will announce its green list for travel at 5 p.m. local time. That is noon here. So we've got a little while to wait, but I am not feeling confident, and I'll tell you why momentarily. But first, let's get to some headlines, Frank.
Oh, yes, let's. An ancient portrait of an historical Roman figure is being studied after it was discovered in an Italian town. An archaeologist found the marble head of Augustus last week while helping restore a medieval wall. Augustus was Rome's first emperor, and CNN reports the artifact dates back to the year, probably between 20 BC and 10 AD. It was likely part of a larger statue, and officials hope the piece of history stays at a museum in the area.
Yeah, I mean, it had a whole body, and it was, just a really interesting story behind it, but it doesn't have a nose anymore, sadly for it. There's a new documentary out. I actually started watching it last night. It's asking the question, was New York City's so-called Summer of Fear caused by not the son of Sam, but the sons of Sam? That's the question. The show is called Behind the Sons of Sam, A Descent into Darkness, and it reexamines whether David Berkowitz truly did act alone or whether he was helped by two friends, all part of some satanic cult. The new Netflix documentary did basically suggest that the son of Sam did not act alone. And of course, he terrorized New York City during the summer of 77. He killed six. He wounded seven. The show is actually quite interesting. We only got into about half of it, and I got really, really tired. But it essentially deep dives into the story of a local reporter, Maury Terry, who filmmakers call the last victim because of his dogged, frustrating pursuit of the truth, which actually ended up turning his life upside down. It's streaming on Netflix right now.
I saw the trailer. It looked quite good.
It's amping up. I'll put it that way.
Okay. All right. Yeah. A 4-year-old boy is proving to be the biggest fan there is of SpongeBob SquarePants. Noah Bryant of Brooklyn recently got on Amazon and bought almost $3,000 worth of the cartoon popsicles. A family friend created a GoFundMe to help cover the bill after Amazon refused to issue a refund. Jennifer Bryant, the boy's mother, thanked donors as the account raised more money than needed to cover the bill. Bryant said that the surplus of donations would go towards helping her son's autism spectrum disorder.
Oh, well, it's kind of like, I mean, I know you're a history guy. I would say it's like another Battle of Trafalgar, except it doesn't include the entire British fleet, and Admiral Lord Nelson is not around either. Plus, neither are the Spanish. Still, it is a bizarre fight, and it's brewing off the French coast near the island of Jersey. It has to do with post-Brexit fishing rights between the French and the British. Two Royal Navy gunships had to send a couple of French fishermen scurrying back home after one of them in their boat rammed a British boat during an attempted mini blockade. Earlier in the week, French officials threatened to cut off electricity to the island, which then prompted one clever Brit to quip, "Germany didn't even cut power when it occupied Jersey during World War II. Why are they?" So anyway, I thought it was a funny story.
Absolutely. It's up my alley.
Yes.
A butterfly that's been extinct in San Francisco since the late 1970s is making a comeback. The variable checker spot butterfly is now thriving this spring in the Presidio after wildlife ecologists restored their native habitat. The tiny monarchs are easily seen throughout the Presidio, especially near Inspiration Point. They're currently working on species restoration for another missing San Francisco butterfly known as the California ringlet. The ringlets are being transported from the Martin Headlands and carefully released into the Presidio.
First of all, I find butterflies disgusting.
Really?
And secondly, yes. And secondly, Inspiration Point, wasn't that Happy Days? Didn't they used to go out to Inspiration Point?
I don't think so.
Where was Inspiration Point? Anyway, I'll find it. I'll look it up. But because
Happy Days took place in Milwaukee.
Well, no, but I know, but it was, but they would go to like a little area. Wasn't it on Happy Days where they called it Inspiration Point?
I don't think it was Inspiration Point. I remember what you tried. It was like Lookout Point or something.
I don't know. I've got to Google this. But you had talked about San Francisco a moment ago. We've got the Stonewall Inn out here. San Francisco's got the Lesbian House. The Lion Martin House was the longtime home of the first lesbian couple to legally marry in San Francisco. They lived there for most of their 50-something years together. It's located atop a hill just south of the Castro District of the city. The 5,700-square-foot lot is mostly garden with a little cottage on site where the couple stayed. It was set for demolition, but supporters stepped in, and earlier this week, the Board of Supervisors voted to give it protected landmark status.
537, someone that we have as a protected landmark is our traffic reporter, Joe Nolan, who has traffic and transit on the sevens.
Can I just say one thing quick before we get to Joe? My husband, the reason that he tunes into the show now is to hear your segues into Joe Nolan.
Does he really?
Yes, he finds them absolutely the most entertaining part of the entire show.
I'll do whatever it takes to keep John tuning in.
Okay, good.
On the Van Wyck on the southbound side at Hillside Avenue, two lanes are going to be out of service there. And again, that because of the ongoing road work, which they're in the process of picking up and should be out of the way very, very shortly. 287 eastbound Westchester Avenue coming on into exit 8E. There is a stalled vehicle. Again, the right lane going to be out. Now, Mass Transit, everybody there on or close, including the Long Island Railroad, they are back on or close to schedule this morning. And alternate side once again today is in effect with traffic on the sevens. I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77, WABC.
All right. Thank you very much, Joe. Tax hikes. Frank is going to be talking about that momentarily in his business report. But first, from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center, today's weather looks pretty decent. 63 degrees we're going to get up to. We'll have a mix of clouds and sun and some light winds. So I would say over the next several days, today is going to be the nicest day. Tomorrow, we're looking at showers, unfortunately, and we're going to drop down to about 53 degrees. Sunday, we head back up into the mid-60s, but we will see showers most likely developing later on in the day. I don't see any sun popping out. And Monday, we're looking at showers as well. The beginning of next week, we start to get a little bit nicer. So hopefully, we'll start to see those the upper 60s, you know, maybe 70s. I don't know. Call me crazy. It is May. But in the meantime, current temperature right now in New York City is 52 degrees. Frank?
Well, by the way, I have a quick addendum to a previous report. I have been informed by one of our listeners, I believe this is Paul Gambino, that Inspiration Point was featured on Happy Days. So from me to dispute your knowledge of Happy Days.
That's
Julia.
True. Well, it was my, you know, it was my wheelhouse.
Absolutely.
At that time.
All right. Stocks yesterday, the Dow set yet another record as it finished up 318 points. The S&P 500 up 34 points and the Nasdaq up 50 points. But the head of J.P. Morgan Chase is calling President Biden's tax hike plan, quote, a little crazy. CEO Jamie Dimon spoke before an investors group yesterday in a recorded interview and said he was concerned about how the money in the tax plan was going to be spent. Dimon said the government needs to be very clear on details in the bill, such as how many miles of highway will get built. He also said replacing the Trump-era corporate tax cut with higher rates was, quote, a little crazy and would hurt the economy. However, Dimon supported calls to fight climate change and called it a real issue that we need to attack as a nation. Juliet.
Your Jet Set Juliet travel update. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Juliet Huddy TV for more details. We are supposed to find out, according to some folks in the know in the UK, about whether or not the U.S. will be on the green list. In other words, we can travel to the United Kingdom. The rumors are swirling as we wait for news to break. That is supposed to happen at 5 o'clock London time, which is noon our time. I have been hopeful that Americans would be on the green list, which means that, again, we would be able to travel there and not have to quarantine as soon as June. My hubby and I even booked our round trip to London in June. It sounded like travel experts were also pretty confident as well. But unfortunately, late yesterday, I noticed a well-connected travel writer from the UK. This is the kind of guy who's won awards and seems to be highly connected. He was putting the kibosh on our travel corridor dreams. He says that he thinks it is a guarantee. He's not going out on a limb. He literally says guarantee that the U.S. will be left off the green list because the Biden administration included the U.K. and more than 100 other countries recently on the level 4 do not travel list. This, in my opinion, was a really stupid move, frankly, because the State Department's do not travel warning is just that. It's a warning. It's not a ban. So we'll see what happens. But according to this writer, it's not looking good. Again, noon today, I will be right on top of my Twitter. So please check in. If you are anxiously awaiting news that cruises will start up again from U.S. ports, we should know something in the next few weeks. However, I can tell you, if you're hoping to take the whole family, hope all you want, it's not looking likely. It's actually probably likely that some kids will not be allowed on initial sailings. Reason being, the agreement between cruise companies and the CDC includes stipulations that passengers must show proof of a COVID vaccine. And right now, most kids are not approved for the vaccines, at least not yet. Several cruise companies operating out of Europe and the Caribbean, including the Royal Caribbean and Celebrity Lines, are already requiring passengers to show proof of a COVID vaccine. And also, we're hearing that you're going to have to wear your mask while you're out there on the pool deck and other public places. That's probably not something that kids are going to want to do. And it's being billed as the world's tallest infinity pool inside a building. The rooftop bathing spot tops the Address Beach Resort in Dubai. Address Beach, that's what it's called. And at nearly 1,000 feet above sea level and 9/10 as tall as the Eiffel Tower, it's living up to its freakishly high reputation. The pool is twice as long as an Olympic-sized pool. It overlooks the white sands of Jumeirah Beach and the Ain Dubai Ferris Wheel, which also happens to be the world's tallest. You can't float up close to the heavens without being a hotel guest, however. And even if you are, you have to be 21 to take a dip. But you can book a table at the adjacent rooftop restaurant, Zeta 77. 77 for the 77th floor on which the pool and restaurant are both located, having nothing to do with WABC. And finally, if you're thinking of getting sassy or worse, getting, I don't know, assaulty on your next flight, you better be ready to A, never fly again, and B, fork over some serious dough. The FAA is revamping their punishments for passengers behaving badly, and the changes are medieval. I love it. The agency says that they have already issued civil fines ranging from $9,000, okay, so they start at $9,000, to more than $30,000 for the really bad eggs. The biggest fine so far was leveled against a guy on a JetBlue flight, actually a woman on a JetBlue flight, from the Dominican Republic to where else? New York City. She apparently ignored instructions to wear a mask, threw a bottle and food, cursed out flight attendants, and then capped it all off by physically attacking them. On top of all that, she brought her own booze on the flight, which is a no-no. The impetus for this new zero-tolerance policy were the numerous in-flight dramas surrounding the January 6th Capitol attack. So be very careful, folks, when you are flying.
Oh, yes, I certainly will be. And I'll be very careful whenever I hear the sports from Sid Rosenberg at 5:45 and at 5:15.
Yes, good morning, Frank and Juliet. Today I'm going to actually see you at the Friars Club.
Excellent.
Oh,
Well, it's 70. Don't say that, Christian. It's 70-30, yes. So we'll see.
Oh, I'm so sad.
You're not coming?
No, I have a hair appointment.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I'm taking my extensions.
I canceled my hair appointment because I have no hair.
Well, yeah. I've got a story coming up for you, actually.
Oh, you do? Good. All right. I got a story coming up for you, too. But we'll do sports for now. Yesterday, the Yankees looking for their sixth consecutive win. Frank and Juliet, they're red hot. Matinee affair in the Bronx against the Houston Astros. And their old foe, Jose Altuve, came back to hurt them. Here's our very own John O'Halloran in the Bronx yesterday.
The Yankees going for a sweep in the Bronx against the Astros in a Thursday marquee matchup. Gerrit Cole, for the first time, takes the mound against his former team. The red-hot Giancarlo Stanton opens things up with a blast over the Yankees' bullpen in the third inning to put the Yankees up 1-0. His hit streak is now at 12 games, and he's tied for the lead in all of baseball with 10 homers on the season. Gerrit Cole goes 7 innings, giving up 5 hits and 2 runs, but the Yankees' bullpen blows it in the 8th inning, giving up a 3-run home run to Jose Altuve, and the Astros take the game 7-4. The Yankees will begin a 3-game set with the Washington Nationals on Friday night. Jameson Taillon and Patrick Corbin are expected to get the start. For 77 WABC, I'm John O'Halloran.
Thank you, John. Yanks fall to 16-15. They're 2.5 back of Joe Abud's Boston Red Sox. The Mets got a great performance from T'Juan Walker. Beat the Cardinals yesterday 4-1. He won 7 no earned runs. The Mets improved to 13-13. They're 1 back of Joe Girardi's Philadelphia Phillies. They start a set in Queens tonight against the Arizona Diamondbacks. Another loss for the Nets, 113-109 to Dallas. This despite 45 from Kyrie Irving. Kevin Durant clearly not happy after the loss.
I mean, losing sucks. I mean, no matter what time of the year it's in, no matter who it's against, I mean, I've been feeling the same way about losing since I was 8 years old, since I started playing. So it's always been about get up the next day and go back to work. So that's the same mentality I'm going to keep.
Nets are still the 2 seed in the East. They're now 2.5 back of the 76ers, but in danger of falling from there. The Bucks are only half a game behind Brooklyn for the 2 spot. Hockey last night, the Islanders lose again. They're cold here. They lose 2-1 to the Devils. And the Rangers closing out the string. They got shut out by Boston 4-0. Sports at 15:45 for the WABC Early News. I'm Sid.
5:47. We've got traffic and transit on the 7s with Joe.
Well, if you're traveling on the LIE coming inbound, Little Neck Parkway area, a little slow getting in through there, Willis Avenue, that whole area there, a little bit of a brake check at this point. Also looking at delays southbound up in the Bronx, out of the Bruckner coming down to the drawbridge. Once you get up on the elevator portion, no, you're good. 287 eastbound in Westchester, a disabled vehicle as you come into Westchester Avenue. That's at exit 8. Long Island Railroad and everybody else on or close to schedule this morning. And alternate side is in effect. This report is a service of Audible. Freshen up your playlist this spring with thousands of select Audible originals, audiobooks, and podcasts, and more. Start a 30-day trial when you sign up at audible.com. I'm Joe Nolan with Traffic on the 7s, Talk Radio 77, WABC.
Thank you. Coming up in a minute, you got a fine head of hair there, Frankie. But Sid, oh boy, we are going to have to talk.
This is the WABC Early News.
Coming up from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center, today is going to be the nicest day, I have a feeling, out of the weekend. It is going to get up to 63 degrees with a mix of clouds and sun early, and then apparently cloudy skies this afternoon. I'm really hoping that that doesn't stick around. I hope we see the sun kind of burning off those clouds. But tomorrow it's going to be 64 degrees. Okay, that's not so bad. That's kind of normal for this time of year. But unfortunately, we're going to have partly cloudy skies early, followed by increasing clouds in the afternoon and probably showers developing later on in the day. The chance of rain is 40%. Monday, things are looking overcast. Showers at times throughout the day, getting up to 61 degrees. And currently the temperature in New York City is 52 degrees. So a new study, guys, found that bald men are up to 2.5 times more likely to suffer severe COVID infections than men with a full head of hair. Now, when I first read this, I thought, oh, here we go again. This is just they're picking at straws here. But it's interesting. The researchers found patients with a common biomarker linked to hair loss appear to be significantly more susceptible to the more dangerous levels of infection. So if you hadn't had your vaccine and you're follicly challenged, perhaps you should invest in some, I don't know, bees. Oh, here's another story, like honeybees. A study out of Denmark claims bees can detect COVID. The researchers apparently rewarded the insects with sugar water when they detected the virus. Once they got trained, they were able to sniff out samples of COVID in just a matter of seconds. Isn't that weird?
That is weird. Not good news for Bernie nor Sid on the COVID front, though.
Although, well, I hope they're listening.
Yes.
I do hope they're, I know they're prepping for the show. But again, if, you know, I know they've both had their vaccine, so they're okay. But if you out there are bald or follically challenged and you haven't, again, invest in some bees.
So this applies only to the naturally bald. Like if you shave your head as a lifestyle choice, you won't have any difference in COVID infection, apparently,
I would think,
right?
Not. No, this is the people who go bald, you know, unwillingly.
That's the one thing I don't have going against me.
Or, well, there are many things that do go against you, but
you
don't have that.
Exactly.
That's true.
Miley Cyrus is this weekend's musical guest on Saturday Night Live. On social media, she shared video of herself rehearsing alongside the kid Leroy. Cyrus recently joined in on a remix of Leroy's hit Without You. On Twitter, she said she's excited for the show with her boys Leroy and this week's guest host, Elon Musk.
You know, I'm not a huge fan of Miley Cyrus and her sort of behavior, but she is quite the little rocker. She has got a very good voice when she's singing hard rock songs. Like,
and
really good.
You know, there was a Woody Allen series on Amazon that that Miley Cyrus was the female lead in.
Mm-hmm.
And I must say, as an actress, she was quite good.
She's talented. I mean,
absolutely.
She's definitely talented. All righty. Yet another study that is going to make Frank very happy. Researchers say men who partake in two alcoholic drinks per day can reduce their risk of dying of heart disease by up to 20%.
Wait, can you repeat the numbers
again?
Yes, I
can.
Yes,
this is important. Men who partake in two alcoholic drinks per day can reduce their risk of dying of heart disease by up to 20%.
That is phenomenal news.
Yeah, women.
What about men that do like six drinks a day?
That does not work. That actually increases your risk of heart disease by hundreds of percentage points. Women, however, we will see the same reduction in risk, but we're only allowed one drink. One drinky poo per day. Just one drinky poo.
Well, I'll have to drink for the two of us then.
And it, well, okay. But it's not like one drinky poo and then a day and then, you know, you can have seven drinky poos in one day and just not drink the rest of the week. It's not that. You can't do that.
All right. Well, I have to have two drinks every day.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
If you're going to twist my arm. Missouri lawmakers are moving forward with an effort to honor the late Rush Limbaugh, a native of the Show Me State. The House approved legislation yesterday to designate January 12th as Rush Limbaugh Day. The conservative talk radio icon died in February after battling cancer. He was 70 years old.
I mentioned a few weeks ago, I think it was, how the CDC and other organizations have sent out warnings to folks to be on the lookout for fake COVID vaccine cards. Well, undercover agents in California were certainly on their game. They busted a local bar owner for doing just that. Todd Anderson is his name. He was arrested Wednesday. He is accused of trying to sell the detectives the phony cards for $20 a pop. He is currently facing charges. So you cannot do this, people.
Florida's fraudulent. Well, speaking of COVID-related issues, Florida's Disney World is phasing out temperature checks for guests starting May 16th. Disney said they're acting under guidance from public health authorities. The park will continue to enforce COVID mask wearing and social distancing with a limited capacity to prevent overcrowding. Tickets must be purchased in advance, and May is already mostly booked.
If you noticed a new feature on Twitter, it probably means you've been naughty. The feature asks people, before they go to post their comment, to review and revise any replies that could be construed as harmful or offensive. The feature is only available right now for English-speaking Twitter users on iOS and Android. But if it's successful, company officials say it'll broaden to the larger population. Round the world. I have not had this problem.
Nor have I. But if people want to follow me on Twitter, they can do so at Frank Morano. That's Frank, M-O-R-A-N-O. Every once in a while, I tweet something that's interesting. So you may want to follow me there. And a former Trump administration FDA head says the CDC should consider lifting indoor COVID mask mandates. Dr. Scott Gottlieb spoke on CNBC last night and said indoor mandates should be lifted as more Americans get vaccinated. Gottlieb said lifting the mandates would preserve the credibility of public health officials who may have to reimplement them this winter should coronavirus outbreaks return.
Well, something tells me this guy's not going to get dad of the year anytime soon. A Chinese man engaged in a years-long custody battle with his ex-wife over their two kids. When all was finally said and done, she got the little girl, he got the two-year-old little boy. And then he turned right around and sold the kid. Yes, dad spent all that time and money just to be vindictive and vengeful to his ex-wife. He sold the toddler to a childless couple for $25,000. Officials then say he used the cash to take his new bride on a whirlwind vacation. The little boy has been returned to an uncle while dad and the now childless, again, couple are being investigated. How sick is that?
Where did they go? Where did he go on vacation?
I didn't ask.
Terrible nonetheless. All right. Yeah. Somebody that would never sell his own child is responsible.
Yeah, it depends on what day it is.
How many kids do you have, Joe?
I have two. They're older, though. They're 34 and 30.
Oh, so yeah, you've gone through the point where you wanted to sell them off.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
You'll see on May 28th, Juliet, believe me.
Oh, what is May 28th?
You're a teller, or you want me to?
Well, why don't we reveal that at the 6:07
traffic
report.
Okay. Yeah. All right. If you're coming inbound on the LI at Little Neck Parkway, you're backed up Glen Cove Road in through Shelter Rock Road, an accident at the right lane out. You want to get over to the left. Southbound on the Bruckner, coming down to the drawbridge, there's quite a bit of volume there. And then on 287 southbound, coming into Westchester Avenue, a stall in the right lane. Long Island Railroad on or close to schedule, so is everybody else. And alternate side again today is in effect. The support is the service of Audible. Freshen up your playlist this spring with Audible Play. Plus, listen all you want to thousands of Audible originals, audiobooks, podcasts, and more. Start a free 30-day trial when you sign up at audible.com. With traffic on the 7s, I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77, WABC.
Okay, thank you, Joe. If the TSA's latest actions, Frank, are any indication, travel will be popping this summer here in the States. The Washington Post reporting TSA's top official told Congress that the agency is planning on hiring more officers and improving the screening process. While we were locked down, the TSA installed more than 1,000 authentication machines around the country to help travelers get their belongings through the x-ray machines faster. So that's good news, because those lines could take forever and they can make you miss your flight.
And absolutely. It's the worst. As if the airport experience isn't bad enough, you have to worry about then missing your flight because of a long line. Absolutely.
Have you ever missed your flight?
Oh, yes. Multiple times.
Have
yes.
you really?
Absolutely.
See, I'm the type that shows up way, way, way ahead of time. Like, well, I give myself, if there's a crash on the LIE, if there happens to be a meteor that crashes to Earth, like, I've got it all figured in.
Well, now that I have a wife, she will not allow me to miss my flight. But prior to my bachelor days, I was a little less, you know, careful with that kind of thing.
Okay. Well, we'll find out what this May 28th thing is between Frank and Joe Nolan at 6:07. I look quite forward to it. Also, sit in with what's happening on the show today.
Entertaining and informative. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Well, it's Friday. We made it. TGIF.
Yeah.
This is the WABC Early News. I'm Frank Morano.
I'm Juliet Huddy. Gabby and Christian are at the controls there. Deb, as you just heard, is covering all the breaking news. And we will get to some interesting stories today, including an update on the late Soundgarden frontman Chris Cornell. And also, I'm going to give you another update about those two young men who were convicted earlier this week in Italy of murdering a police officer there and some apparent cocaine deal gone awry. And also, Jeffrey Epstein's former gal pal, she's been lamenting there in prison, but some of her fellow prisoners are lamenting about her. So I'll tell you all about that stuff coming up shortly. Mm.
And because Juliet cannot be bothered to check the emails that I send her, let me play for you a portion of the email that I received from our own Joe Nolan yesterday. Thank you.
tradition continues. Tired of sitting in your house? Well, I know a spot where the dancing is free. Friday, May 28th, the Crab's Claw in Lavalette, New Jersey, 1 p.m. Joe Nolan's first day of summer, presented by Mark Montanaro.
And that is precisely where I will be. I have rearranged my schedule for that particular day to join Joe Nolan in Lavalette, New Jersey.
Joe, was this supposed to get out publicly?
Well, that was, well. I'm announcing it today, later today, but it's okay. It's fine. The people who were having the three bands will announce later. But
okay. Okay.
One of them is actually kind of a big time guy, so it's going to be fun.
Oh, well, I can't go. Right. I'm going to be out of town.
What?
Well, you know what?
That's,
Juliet, I didn't send it to you because I figured you're never going to come from Long Island all the way down.
That's untrue. That is not. That is not true. But thank you for not inviting me. I will be in Miami for my niece Eliana's third birthday.
Oh,
please! That's come on. You can be in Lavalette, New Jersey. My friend Kyle O'Brien is coming.
On the sidewalk out in front of the Crab's Claw. It's going to be awesome.
Make sure you take lots of video.
To go to the Crab's Claw for years.
Really?
Kyle O'Brien's been trying to get me there, and now I will finally be there.
Yeah, it's a great little spot right there on Route 35 in Lavalette.
I'm sure you guys are going to have fun.
Yeah, don't worry about that. If you're going to be traveling out onto the southbound side of the BQE at Queens Boulevard, an accident one lane out, also westbound on the LIE, there's an accident right at Shelter Rock Road. Again, the right lane going to be out of service. We're backed up to the Northern State Parkway. Also, as you begin to travel on the eastbound side of the cross, Westchester, are disabled in the right lane coming on into the area of exit 8E, Westchester Avenue. Now, Mass Transit, pretty much right on or close to schedule. And alternate side of the street parking rules again today are in effect. With traffic on the 7s, I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you. Well, the weather today, according to the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center forecast, is going to be okay. 63 degrees, clouds and sun, maybe a little bit cloudy as the day goes on, but still not too bad. Unfortunately, that's the last you're going to see of the nice weather over the next 3 days, starting Saturday, Sunday, Monday. It's going to be pretty rainy, pretty cloudy. Tomorrow, Saturday, we'll have 53 degrees with occasional rain showers throughout the day. The chance of rain, 50%. Sunday, we're getting up to 64 degrees, but we will still have a chance of rain, 40%. It's going to be partly cloudy early, followed by increasing clouds with showers developing later on Sunday. And Monday, overcast with showers at times, 61 degrees. Currently, the temperature is a balmy 52 degrees in New York City.
Do you remember a day and a half ago when we told you that former New York State Assembly Speaker Shelley Silver had been released from prison after serving only 9 months of a 6.5-year sentence?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he is going back to prison. NBC4 reporting that he is being returned from furlough after his request for home confinement was denied. The 77-year-old was furloughed from the Otisville Correctional Facility earlier this week, but could return as early as today, where he will continue serving his 6-year sentence on corruption charges.
So
he was home for 2 days.
Oh, that's unfortunate for him, I guess. I told you yesterday about the two American men, the young men, convicted of murdering an Italian police officer in a cocaine deal gone awry. Well, now the young men's lawyers are speaking out. Renato Borzoni says the verdict is a shame for Italy. I think he meant a shame on Italy. And he vows to appeal the decision that could send 21-year-old Finnegan Lee Elder and 20-year-old Gabriel Natale Horth to prison for life in Italy. It took the jury just 12 hours before finding the two guilty and giving them the stiffest sentence law allows.
Sunday is Mother's Day, and many folks don't know a great deal about the history behind Mother's Day, but the idea of Mother's Day dates back to ancient Greece, believe it or not. The Greeks chose to honor Rhea, the mother of the Greek gods and goddesses, in a spring festival. In 1600 in England, the occasion was known as Mothering Sunday, a time when children returned home bearing gifts of sweets and pastries. In 1872, the women who wrote the words to the Battle National Hymn of the Republic, first suggested the celebration of Mother's Day in the United States. It was left to another woman, though, Anna Jarvis, to get the ball rolling to official recognition of Mother's Day. West Virginia was the first state to accept Mother's Day as a formal holiday. By the following year, nearly all of the states were on board with Mother's Day. President Woodrow Wilson had declared it a national holiday by 1914.
Yes. Happy Mother's Day to my mama, Erica, who is a rock star.
Literally.
Literally. Exactly. Jeffrey Epstein's former gal pal, now prisoner, of course, has been lamenting her current situation behind bars at the city's Metropolitan Correction Center. Her lawyers have filed myriad claims alleging mistreatment of the disgraced British socialite, Ghislaine Maxwell. But new revelations are raising questions about Maxwell's nonstop complaints. The Daily Mail reporting an inmate awaiting trial on sex trafficking charges says he, not she, is the real victim there at the Metropolitan Correction Center. Justin Rivera says Maxwell is granted far superior conditions, and he says it's because she's, quote, an affluent white woman. Rivera's lawyers filed a complaint in December alleging he had limited access to his legal team and his laptop, and he wants better treatment on par with Ms. Maxwell.
The president's chief medical advisor helped kick off a three-day virtual Vatican conference yesterday. Dr. Anthony Fauci was a featured speaker at the conference titled Exploring the Mind, Body, and Soul, How Innovation and Novel Delivery Systems Improve Health. Other speakers taking part in the event include the CEOs of vaccine maker Pfizer and Moderna, Chelsea Clinton, supermodel Cindy Crawford, and Aerosmith guitarist Joe Perry.
Stormy skies are parting for now for the former president. The Federal Election Commission announced that it is dropping its inquiry into whether Donald Trump violated campaign finance laws when his lawyer, Michael Cohen, paid porn star Stormy Daniels in so-called hush money leading up to the 2016 election. Yesterday, the FEC voted 2-2 on proceeding ahead with the investigation, and that is a tie, of course. And if you don't have a majority, the case is dropped. And thus the inquiry is over. And speaking of Frank, President Trump, obviously someone on his behalf more likely, tried to sneak a new account in on Twitter. At DJT Desk was apparently set up earlier this week to share personal commentary from the former president. It followed the announcement from the Trump camp that they had launched their own website called From the Desk of Donald J. Trump. As of Wednesday night, the account had already been suspended for violating the platform's rules, one of which was that the president is banned indefinitely. Facebook, meantime, upheld their own ban on Mr. Trump's account. So if you want to hear the personal musings of the president, head over, the former president, head over to his new website, I guess.
But if you want to hear the personal musings of Sid Rosenberg, you are in luck because we've got him here exclusively.
You're the man, Frank. Good morning, Frank and Juliet. The Yankees looking to win their sixth in a row and sweep the Houston Astros. A matinee affair yesterday in the Bronx. And WABC's John O'Halloran was there. This on the Yanks.
The Yankees going for a sweep in the Bronx against the Astros in a Thursday marquee matchup. Gerrit Cole for the first time takes the mound against his former team. The red-hot Giancarlo Stanton opens things up with a blast over the Yankees bullpen in the third inning to put the Yankees up 1-0. His hit streak is now at 12 games, and he's tied for the lead in all of baseball with 10 homers on the season. Gerrit Cole goes 7 innings, giving up 5 hits and 2 runs, but the Yankees bullpen blows it in the 8th inning, giving up a 3-run home run to Jose Altuve, and the Astros take the game 7-4. The Yankees will begin a 3-game set with the Washington Nationals on Friday night. Jameson Taillon and Patrick Corbin are expected to get the start. For 77 WABC, I'm John O'Holler.
That's a great job, John. Thank you. The Yankees fall to 16-15. They're now 2.5 behind Joseph Abud's Boston Red Sox inside that very crowded AL East. Metsies get a win. T'Juan Walker pitched great. 7 innings of 0 earned run baseball. Beat the Cardinals 4-1. Mets improved to 13-13. They're in second place, 1 game back of Joe Girardi's Philadelphia Phillies. They start a 3-game set in Queens tonight against the Arizona Diamondbacks. The Nets lose again. Dallas gets by them 113-109. This despite 45 from Kyrie Irving. Here was Kevin Durant after the game. He doesn't like losing.
I mean, losing sucks. I mean, no matter what time of the year it's in, no matter who it's against, I mean, I've been feeling the same way about losing since I was 8 years old, since I started playing. So it's always been about get up the next day and go back to work. So that's the same mentality I'm going to keep.
Nets are 2.5 behind Philadelphia, just a half a game ahead of Milwaukee, 2 spot in the East. Rangers shut out by Boston 4-0. If you want to know why Jim Dolan fired everybody, John Davidson, Jeff Gordon, read Larry Brooks in today's New York Post. It's a great interview between Brooks and Jimmy Dolan. The Islanders lose 2-1 to the Devils. Knickerbocker's back on the court tonight in Phoenix against the West 2-seed Phoenix Suns. Sports at 15:45. For the WABC Early News, I'm Sid.
6:17, time for traffic and transit on the 7s. Here's Joe Nolan.
All right, Frank, coming inbound Long Island Expressway. We're still pretty much backed up at this point as you come away from Glen Cove Road into Shelter Rock Road. There's an accident there, tractor trailer involved. Most of it, it looks like, is off on the shoulder, literally right at the bottom of the ramp from Shelter Rock Road. That also is shut. BQE southbound of Queens Boulevard, there's an accident there. Westbound Jackie Robinson, west of Q. All lanes are closed with an unauthorized tractor trailer. 287 eastbound up in Westchester, we still have that stall, and now there's a vehicle fire. Northbound on the inner roadway of the Turnpike at 13A, center lane out and alternate side is in effect. The support, a service of CVS. It pays to fill your prescriptions at CVS. In fact, you can earn up to $50 in extra bucks each year by filling your prescription. That's healthier made easier. Visit CVS today. See CVS.com/RX rewards or the pharmacy for details. I'm Joe Nolan with Traffic on the 7s, Talk Radio 77, WABC.
All right, one more quick weather check from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center. Today will be 63 degrees-ish. We're probably going to get up into the mid-60s, you know, not much warmer than that. A mix of clouds and sun early, followed by cloudy skies this afternoon. Tomorrow, we're looking at 53 degrees, clouds, rain showers throughout the day. Sunday, pretty much the same thing, except the temperature will warm up to the mid-60s again. And on Monday, again, going down to the 60s, low 60s-ish, and overcast skies, rain showers at times. Currently, the temperature in New York City, 52 degrees.
And Wall Street futures are mixed ahead of this morning's April jobs report. Dow futures are essentially unchanged, while S&P 500 and NASDAQ futures are up slightly. S&P 500 futures are up a little more than 0.1%, and NASDAQ futures are up nearly 0.2%. The jobs report will be out at 8:30 this morning, and investors are expecting about 1 million new jobs. Now, we are keeping an eye on Peloton. Peloton is delaying the launch of its new cheaper treadmill after a recent recall. The new Peloton tread was to go on sale in the United States on May 27th. The company now saying, though, that the launch is being delayed until new safety features are added. On Wednesday, Peloton voluntarily recalled all of its Tread Plus treadmills over safety concerns and apologized for not acting more quickly to resolve the issue. Dozens of injuries and one death have been connected to the Tread Plus. Peloton said new safety features must be added and approved before the product can be sold again, which could take 6 to 8 weeks.
The stock took a beating, right?
That it did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tanked. Yep.
I got a Peloton bike in my apartment. No Peloton treadmill.
You better be careful.
Well, you don't have a little, you don't have a dog, right?
Don't have a dog. I have you a son.
Well, they don't crawl on the ground anymore, do
not
they?
Not anymore, no,
okay.
No.
He had that son before he had that Peloton.
I think you're safe.
We're okay, yes. We're going to be okay.
So what's coming up on the Bernie and Sid show?
Well, we got a big show today. We have famed defense attorney Joe Tacopina. He'll be here at 7:40. He's basically taking over for Artie Idala. And Idala, I love Artie, and I miss Artie. Artie's that good, I miss him.
Now representing Rudy Giuliani.
Yes, that's a very, very big deal.
Absolutely.
But Tack will be here today instead of Artie. Then we're going to have Monica Crowley sit in for 2 hours from 8 to 10. Monica's
wow.
an old friend, and she's terrific on the air. So she'll be on from 8 to 10. Then 9:05, Cindy Adams will be back for a second consecutive week. She seems to like me and Bernie, and she is a firecracker. And then we'll talk to Lauren Conlon, Red Carpet Rendezvous, coming up at 9:20. So
now, wait a second, Sid. Yeah. So you've got Monica. I used to call her Mocro. Monica and I used to be very good friends back in the early days when I was up in New York at Fox. But we ended up kind of not hanging out as much because she is extremely mature and I was not. So she would meet me out, you know, for meet the girls for drinks. And she would just be like, I can't keep up with you people. This is way too much for me. She's
well,
a great girl.
I'm more like you. And I know you guys were close. She actually sent a regard to you. She was here almost the whole day. couple of weeks ago for the Israeli Independence Day that we had here. She was there on stage 77 almost the whole day. She sent the regards to you, Juliet, and she's been filling in actually weekdays this week with John Catsimatidis.
Yeah, I heard her last night. She sounded great with Peter King and John and
Eric Adams.
Janine Pirro.
That
yeah.
was a huge interview for
Big
John
interview.
Yesterday,
Absolutely.
Eric Adams. And he is he's going to win. So I've been saying that for weeks, even when Yang was beating him. Eric Adams is going to win. I mean, look, obviously Curtis Sliwa's our guy, and we hope to God some miracle. He'll win the nomination. He can win the whole thing. But smart money right now is all over Eric Adams.
Well, it's going to be interesting. So Dr. Monica Crowley,
yes.
Lauren Conlon, Cindy Adams, and an incredible array of
Tacopina.
Folks. And Joe Tacopina.
Right. And then next week we expect to have for at least an hour, maybe two, live in studio, based on her promise last night, the effervescent, the lovely, the exciting, and very, very talented Wendy Williams.
Oh, how exciting.
I know. It's
that
great.
That is exciting.
So that's the payback. She'll do our show, and then I do hers next Friday.
I was going to say, I would love to be on her show, but I don't think I'm allowed because it's a Fox show.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Is it a Fox show? I thought she was just syndicated nationally.
Yeah,
and she
20th. Yeah.
Oh, 20th Century.
Yeah, I'm banned from all Fox platforms.
Oh, boy.
And speaking to any Fox people, apparently. As I found out. Yeah. Anyway, good times. So that sounds like a fantastic show, and you will be at the Friars Club today?
It looks that way, yes. You know, my daughter is going to take her SATs tomorrow, Ava. So Danielle, my wife, is driving Ava to Connecticut. They're actually staying overnight in a hotel. They'll have dinner together. And early tomorrow morning in New Haven, Ava takes the SATs. So I'm alone. My son is in school, Gabriel. So that gives me the afternoon off, so I'm seriously considering stopping
Frank,
by
Frank, what
today.
Will Sid's excuse be when he doesn't show up?
You know what?
Yeah.
I'm not looking to twist his. What, Sid, how did you do on your SATs?
I knew I needed 1,000 to go to Miami in Coral Gables.
And you met it. You got
and,
it.
And I came into Madison High School Saturday morning, hungover and still drunk from a long night in Bay Ridge the night before, and I got a 10-10 and never took it again.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
See, that's all you need.
I'm smart enough to get a 1,500. I took this course, this Kaplan course. My dad would drop me off, Juliet and Frank, every Thursday night on King's Highway in Brooklyn for this course. He'd pull away.
And you'd fall.
Yes, my friend Eric would pick me up. We'd go out for drinks.
Oh my God. What a waste of your dad's money.
I know, terrible.
Poor guy.
Oh, I know. Well, sounds familiar.
I did admit it to my father before he died, just so you guys know.
Aw, yeah, that sounds familiar, actually. Very
well,
familiar.
You did the same thing?
I did a couple of times. I didn't go drinking. I didn't drink in high school, but I did go and play a few times.
How did you do on the
SAT? You know, I just felt like I'm going to ace the verbal part, the math part. Right. I knew I was going to tank, and nothing was going to teach me.
Yeah,
nothing
that's
was
what
going to help
me.
Well,
how did you do? Is that what happened?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I think I got what you could get for just signing your name,
right.
You know, on the sheet for math.
That's 400 right off the bat.
Horrible. Yeah, horrible. Yeah. But that's what you get when you move your kid every single year for years
true.
And years and
that's
years
true.
In a row. You know, you start in geometry one place and another place you're in algebra. It's crazy.
Television brat.
True.
Yeah.
And now
you had to get at least a 1,300. You're a brilliant guy.
Well, I'm not a brilliant guy.
Yes, you are.
I did not go skipping out on the test prep that my parents paid for. I stayed there and learned all the tricks of the test.
So what'd you get?
I think I got a 1,390.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
It's not that good.
I want to sleep with you.
Schumer got a 1,600. Chuck Schumer got a 1,600.
Wow. He's a smart guy.
He is.
There's a difference between being smart and ignorance. He's smart, but he's ignorant. That's all.
He's a very intelligent guy. Yeah. That's for sure.
He went to Madison High School, where I took the
I know. Well, that's what made me think of Senator Schumer. All right. Thank you. Stay tuned to the Bernie and Sid show coming up in just 5 minutes. Dr. Monica Crowley, Cindy Adams, Lauren Conlon, and Joe Tacopina. All right. Anything else you want to inform people about before we get out of here and start the weekend, Julia?
Well, actually, you know, because I'm a rocker girl, I just found this story interesting. The family of the late Soundgarden frontman, Chris Cornell, finally has settled a lawsuit. You know, with another one of these alleged Dr. Feelgood, excuse me, type of physicians, Chris Cornell's wife, Vicky, filed a lawsuit against this doctor, Beverly Hills doctor, back in 2018. That was a year after Chris Cornell committed suicide by hanging himself in a hotel room. Vicky Cornell claimed that this Dr. Feelgood guy had prescribed 940 doses of anti-anxiety drugs in 20 months before Cornell's death. So apparently they settled. And, you know, and this doctor did this despite knowing that Cornell had a serious history of drug abuse. So There has been a settlement. And that, be careful of Dr. Feelgoods.
On that upbeat note, we will leave you to enjoy your weekend.
You too.
We'll be back on Monday.
Happy Mother's Day.
Bernie and Sid are next. But
love
first,
you, Mom.
Here's Joe Nolan. Love you, Mom.